Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Welcome to Warn Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. And on Friday mornings, I do Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar. And we have various studies and do a number of other things. And of course, as with all our shows, these are fast-moving, in-depth biblical studies. Or like on Wednesday, it's doing the advocacy for the persecuted church. We are not call-in shows. If you do need to contact us, you can do so through our website's contact page on warn-usa.com. And you can follow us on any number of social sites, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, USA.life. You can find us, WatchmanIS216, on Twitter and Facebook, Warn Radio, on Instagram, Twitter, Warn Radio, on USA.life. We are on Tumblr, LinkedIn as Watchman. We have Watchman, which is another Twitter feed. So at any rate, you can find us online. We're also on MeWe. And so at any rate, I do recommend USA.life and also MeWe. Both are secure. Both are not like the other social sites, which utilize your information, and they're not safe. These are fairly secure. There is another one. And that is Telegram, which made the news not too long ago. At any rate, check out everything on warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You can listen to all the shows, read all the articles. I have a couple of new articles up. I stop by and read them. The Son of God, Kingdom Served, Kingdom Come, and Mystery of Iniquity and the Truth. Both two separate articles. We've got lots of articles up there in depth. They inspire, they teach, they help you to understand what we're facing, what's going on, so check them out. And today we are in part two on the Revelation messages to the seven churches. And in this particular one, we are discussing in this particular one Proverbs. And we're in Proverbs 7, verse 1. And this young man is told to keep his words. His father talks to his son and says, keep my words, lay up my commandments, and live, and keep my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the table of your heart, saying to wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. In other words, you become a prey to these things. And so the biggest idea, you know, it says in verse 6 of that, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth." So these were a bunch of young people outside in the street. And there was a young man, and by looking at him, the person that's looking happened to see what was going on. A young man void of understanding. Now, the reason this person knew that is because as they're telling this, they're kind of relating what happened. So this tells you a little preview. He was void of understanding because of what he did. And she hasn't told you that yet. That's coming. But this, and I do believe this is a woman looking out. And she knows about how this goes, and it could very well be, as we looked in the first one, we think up here, it says, "My son," and we don't think, you know, sometimes we'll look at this, "Keep my words," we think of it as a father telling his son, which is indeed how you could do it, but you could also say it could have been the mother, you know. Because she knew what it would be like or what it was like when other women want to get their way. They have a way to twist the hearts of the young and gullible. And so this particular person looked out, saw this young man, and now when they're relating it, they know what it, they know that from what he did, he didn't have any understanding of truth. And so she, this person proceeds to tell you that passing through the street near her corner, he went his way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Of course, that's when these women, of course, they'll do it in daylight, you know, and especially in America, a lot of areas, in America, everything's okay. So, so they think. Passing through the street near the corner, he went her way to the house in the twilight, in the evening, the black and dark night. That's when no one's supposed to see you, but this person saw this young man. And there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart, loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not at her house. In other words, this person that's watching know that this particular young woman that was dressed up as a harlot was not from around the neighborhood. She was dressed to the hilt, as we say. And, of course, being an ex-serviceman, we all know what these women do, because there's two types that go after, for instance, I was a sailor. And number one was salesman. Most of them were photograph salesmen, jewelry salesmen, because they were selling you a, you know, something to send home to mom or to your girlfriend or to your wife. and the other one is a whore. The servicemen were big targets of whores. And they weren't cheap. I know, because I had one approach me one time. I think it was $150 or $250. I mean, good grief. there's no way I'm interested, gal. Get away from me, I got other things to do. And but at any rate, loud and stubborn, and they can get the way that way. You know, they don't want to take no for an answer. That's the way they make money. The same way with the salesman. You have to you don't answer him, you have to walk away from him in order to get away from him. You can't look him in the eye, because that'll be go sick him, you know. You have to get out of there. If they catch your eye, if you begin talking to them, these people are so good, 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up buying something. Another one is tattoos. They all do the same thing. A big, big business back then. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner, because she's looking for a John, and there's a lot of them going by, but they not all take the bait. And so she found one, and it says, "So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows. Therefore, I came forth to meet you diligently to seek your face. I have found you. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry with carved works with fine linen. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love to the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Now, was she really looking for this kid? I doubt it. Because she was on the street. She was lying in wait at every corner. He was just another John, but she had to make it seem personable in order to get him in there. And so the end result of it is, she goes on to say, for the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goes after a straight way, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. And hearken unto me now, therefore, children, and tend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to go to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now, of course, we would look at that today in America, especially our hedonistic attitude, as being totally out of character. This is nonsense. Because, frankly, you know, we don't see any problem with fornicating. We don't see any problem with all the young kids having sex early and having illegitimate babies and then deciding whether or not they want to get married, and it can be a big mess. And then, of course, if you get on the other side of the spectrum, you know, as far as sexual immorality, we've got every type, shape, and design in the world today. And it's all going to send you straight down to hell. God has made one thing undefiled, and that was a marriage between a man and a woman, and that's the way it is. You don't like it, that's not my problem. Now, you might go to Revelation 22 and read what the Lord said. It says, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. There's a couple of other things in that paragraph, but it all means that the Lord's coming soon, and he is going to judge, give every man reward according as his work shall be. So you have to make up your mind. But the whole point to this is that when we look at immorality, when we look at this particular thing, it's the same thing when Israel forsook the Lord God and committed adultery by seeking other gods. And for Christians today, you have been purchased with a price. And Christ died on the cross so that you would have power to become the sons of God, John 1. You're to be born again by the Spirit, John 3. You're to confess your sin, Romans 3 through 7. You're to walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1. And if you do sin, you can confess your sin, 1 John 1. And he's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. See, there's a relationship there. We are in the church. We are the bride. So what happens when the bride goes a-whoring and begins to walk in a way that's immoral, a way that is contrary to Scripture and what God's commandments are? That woman, that house, that church, those people become part of the whore church, the harlot church. In other words, that church is doing things in disobedience and has not given the Lord everything. And so when we talk about Revelation and the letters to the seven churches, in chapter 1, we have John introducing it and the vision of our Lord. It was he who stood in the middle of the candlesticks. All the churches were gathered in his hand. He had total power and authority over them. It is he who is dead and is alive and alive forevermore and has the keys of death and hell. He is the Almighty. John 1, he calls himself that. The next thing he does is send out seven letters. Seven is a complete number. It's the perfect number. Seven means God's number. So the churches represent the all-encompassing church of every type and shape, and the messages are given. And it's just like on Wednesday night, we're in Isaiah. It's a long study. And when we talk about judgment, when we talk about what God does, judgment, just like chastisement for the Christians and the warnings to the church, are redemptive. Even the stuff that happens, if that church is not right, if the pastor's not preaching right, God will judge that church. He will do so in order to bring full redemption to it. Hebrews 12:6, and I mentioned this last night when I was teaching in Isaiah, because it's the same principles. God judged Israel because of her sins, but it was redemptive. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily after a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. So, when you start going astray, that's illustrated by the lame turning out of the way. You have a tendency to favor one leg over another and pulling you off the path. It's just like in Israel when they were chastened, when they were warned first, and then they went through judgment, and then they went into captivity like Judah did for 70 years. Now, that chastening is not fun. But after they came out, they realized the error of their ways, and they returned to the Lord. It's redemptive. And so, too, is how God deals with Christians. It's redemptive. And we go through this. This is a precursor to the messages of the seven churches. The seven churches is the first message. Really, the first message you hear besides the introduction and who is talking, which is the Lord. This is the revelation, the unveiling of the Lord's kingdom. And to get in that kingdom, you have to be perfect. And you can only do that through Christ. And you're not going to enter in if you do these things that are immoral, certain, you know. And of course, we do. If we do sin, we can come to the Father. But the Lord is not going to be mocked. For whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You're not going to fool God. He knows where your heart is. And so the issue here is the kingdom is coming, so the most important thing that the Lord does is speak to the church. The seven representing the all-encompassing of all those who are going to be saved in the various groups of which they're at. And he addresses them to let you know that he deals with this just like he dealt with Israel. And he's stark and to the point. And there's some of them he will tell, you don't need to do anything else. Just keep the faith. There's others that are in trouble. And so that's why you need to understand before we go in, these are not just seven letters to make you feel good. They're not just seven letters for teachers and preachers to twist around and turn it into their own doctrine. These letters are there for one reason, not doctrine, but redemption. Not for men and churches to twist around, but for you to learn. And a couple of other scriptures, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Now, Revelation 17:10, you can exactly find this thing written in the New Testament verbiage in Revelation 22, when the Lord says, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Etc., etc. There's a number of them there. Let them do that still, because when I come, I'm going to give rewards according to every man in the fruit of his doings. Exactly what Jeremiah said. The heart is deceitful. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end it leads to death. There's a lot of people with redemption, a lot of people with different churches, different faiths, different beliefs. But there's only one Lord, one redemption, one salvation, and one Lord God, who's Lord God over everything. And that is precisely why the world hates the Christian church. That's precisely why Christians are getting persecuted in many other nations today, because they do not like the exclusivity of Christianity. While the offer is open to everyone, it isn't open to all other gods. It has one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. That's it. There's no other avenues. And so, you know, the Lord is wanting to bless us. Even John said, beloved, I wish above all things that you'd be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. There is that blessing. There is that providence of God that wants to take care of you. And that's important. And so now, Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and how you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. or else I'll come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the church, what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, just a minute. Will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God? So we have Ephesians. And of course, if we remember the book, of Ephesians, there are some interesting things in it. The sons of disobedience are mentioned there. Those who would not listen to the truth but continued in their ways. And the one that's speaking is he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In other words, this is the picture that John showed us of the Lord in his glory. And in the Spirit, this is how it looks. Total power, total authority over the church. There would be no church if it weren't for him dying on the cross. And that's exactly what we need to understand. And if you happen to be in Ephesians, there's nothing you're going to do about it. He has the power, he has the authority, and he knows. He says, I know your works, your labor, and your patience. He knows all three. Now, you see, they're not being castigated for working and laboring and having patience. Matter of fact, Revelation, one of the points of Revelation is to understand there is a patience of the saints. We are required to have patience in walking for the Lord, in how we come to the Lord, what we ask him, when it arrives, persecution, in everything, there's patience required. And I've even told native pastors this when I talk to them. It's not in your time, it's in the Lord's time. You may think you need it, but God will give it to you. Maybe. It all depends on your relationship, because God has a way about certain things. We all know that as Christians, we pray for one thing, you got to be careful. The best way to do it is pray for others. Pray for those in prison for their faith. Pray for the Christians in other nations. pray for those that are on death row in other nations or here, and they have faith. Pray for the salvation of the enemy. Pray for the salvation of your loved ones. Pray for yourself last. Bring the needs to God. But bring yours last. Remember, there is a truism in Christianity. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. That's the way it is. In order to live, you have to lose your life. He that loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. He that confesses me before men, I'll confess him before the Father. He that denies me before men, I'll deny him before the Father. Truisms and opposites. This is the kingdom of God. So they were working, they were laboring, and they even had patience. And they couldn't stand them that are evil. I mean, when I read this, I think of America. There's a lot of evil in other nations, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of evil to go around. But in America, especially with our divisiveness, and we have groups like Antifa that are full of young punks that go around beat up people, especially Trump supporters. They were caught destroying the Democratic offices in, where was it, Seattle or somewhere out there. They had the pictures. Total thugs. I mean, we have a lot of evil. It's all around us. And we don't love evil. We don't have to love evil. We're waiting for the Lord to put down all evil. There are many in darkness, even in America. So we work, we labor. The works. James talks about works. And he did run into a few people that disagreed with him because they said, no, no, it's not works, it's faith. And he said, fine. He says, I'll show you my faith through my works. In other words, faith is what he had. But the fruit of faith is what you do for the Lord. And the labor is the process of getting it done, and the patience is doing that and knowing that although there's times when you see no results, that all things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Everything is going to work out, but it requires patience, works, and labor. The church in Ephesus had this done. And of course, when we look at the church in Ephesus, it has some great scriptures in it. It also has a lot of spiritual warfare in it. Now remember, these churches were in the Roman Empire. Paganistic. Heathenistic. Fornicating. They made war. And they had politicians. Where would we be in a country without politicians? And they couldn't bear, they were working and laboring and had patience, knowing that God would bring a harvest. And they could not bear the evil that was going on. And I can guarantee you, there's a lot of Christians today that have a hard time bearing or putting up with the evil in America. And there is consummate evil here. Now, see, America isn't the most evil nation on earth. It has drunk from the cup of the harlot in Revelation, just like the other nations have. But other nations have their own abominations, which may not be necessarily the same abomination as we have to our extent. But it's still the same Kool-Aid, the same mix. Now see, the other thing of it is, these people in Ephesus have tried them, which said they are apostles. Well, they weren't. And they found out that they were liars. How did they know that? Well, you know it. Because whenever you're anointed spiritually, there is an authority that goes beyond the initial teaching, preaching, speaking, or testimony. And this initial anointing carries on with the message that's been given to those this person who is anointed talks to. And if that was a message of judgment, there will be a spirit of judgment on that person. And it will be anointed coming from that one which had the authority that God anointed. Now see, that's why God had these apostles that he set up. And one of them was a liar, and he ended up hanging himself. And then the Apostle Paul was the last one to come in. But you see, within this, I mean, even today, we have a lot of people that say they're prophets, that say they're apostles, that say they're this and say they're that. And I knew one of my shows when I was doing a lot of interviews, I interviewed a Jewish prophet. He made a lot of people mad. He made a lot of people happy. And because I went to a couple of his meetings, I had people that were mad at me because I didn't come against him. Because when they went there, they had a bad experience, so they wanted me to condemn him. Well, I wasn't going to do that. I went to a couple of his meetings. I think there were two or three. And, you know, that was it. He's since died. And people have to figure that out, what that means. But he left 10 other sub-prophets to take his place. The Lord and those 10 prophets will have to work it out, because I'm not going to work it out for them. But you see, there is a thing which you should discern. We're not supposed to be following men anyway. We're supposed to be following the Lord. Yes, we have meetings, and the churches themselves are a place where we meet. But there is no power in the bricks and stones and fleshly name of that church or the denomination or the organization. The anointing is the Lord. And it comes out of the hearts of the believers, because whether you like it or not, and the churches like it or not, the temple of God is within us. The temple of God is not within a building. The only reason that is a place where we can meet is the Lord said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. So when you have a bunch of believers who were born again, and the temple of God is within them, the Lord's Spirit is in them, and they start worshiping, the glory will fall down and God will bless the place. And a lot of times we think it's the preacher or the teacher. And he might be a good teacher, a good preacher, but it's the Lord's anointing and it's the Lord's purpose that is fulfilled. So these people had found apostles that were not apostles. And it's like, have we ever found some leader that was not really the full Christian leader? We've had a lot of Christian leaders here in this country that have gotten into grievous sin and been taken down from the heights which they were at. See, because that same woman I read to you about, today in America can even be another man. Because some of these pastors are caught up in homosexuality. We have Christian singers now. And we recently, a few months ago, we had two major Christian singers who came out and denied the faith. Well, actually, one. No, that was something else. Excuse me. It was actually a pastor who came out and denied the faith. And then there was two Christian singers, one of whom decided that he would become homosexual and come out of the closet. And, of course, there were churches many years ago that were homosexual churches. They were in Denver, and the only reason I know that is because where I live, we got some papers from there, and they were advertising in it, specifically advertising the gay part. You know, people want to do whatever they want to do, they can do it. That's what the Lord said. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. We are in the end of days. There are two harvests, one to wicked, one to righteousness, and you need to choose where you want to be. God is not going to come out of heaven before his time and say, well, won't you pretty please go back? He's given you his word. He's given you his spirit. He's sent his only begotten son. He's given you everything you need to know faith, to know the Lord, to walk in him. Now get up off your butt, and if you have wicked spirits or evil spirits or an evil lust, you find someone to pray with you, and you cast that thing out. You rebuke it in Jesus' name. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If it's a demon, you fast for 3 days and cast that thing out, but you set yourself up because Christ did not die for you to be bound up. Christ did not die for the church to then be caught up in wickedness, evil, perversion, and those who do such things will be found guilty and will fall into the lake of fire. And for these churches and hedonists and these carnal churches, whore churches in America and around the world, mostly in America and the Western churches is where they're at, because most of the Christians in the other parts of the world are persecuted, and most of them wind up either in prison, beaten to death, or on the run, starving because of their faith in Christ. Every week we talk about this. So now's not the time to fiddle around, as we say. Okay, you're laboring. You've had patience. And you've tried to be faithful. And you continued. You found those that said they were apostles or whatever they said they were, and they weren't. Fine. But see, this is the sticker. All those other things were good, but if you work and labor and have patience without the love of God and the love of Christ and loving your Lord and knowing him, everything has been in vain. Do you think he wants you to be his child just to obey his commandments? You see, the Old Testament gave you the commandments. That was the first covenant. Actually, there was a number of covenants, but the one given at Sinai was the law. He had given the children of Israel the law. And that's what they had. They didn't have the Spirit of God within them. They had the law. There were certain people who had the anointing of God that the Spirit of God would come upon. But through Christ, he went away so the Spirit could come. You have his word, you have his spirit, and you've got more power and the ability to walk in him as the Son of God, as his sons and daughters in righteousness. There's no place for failure here. You're either going to make it or you're not. But there is a place for repentance and restoration. But if you go up to God and say, well, I'm sorry, I just couldn't do it, that is not going to cut it. Because with Him and His grace and His favor, you can do it. Now, what happened with Ephesians was, and the book of Ephesians is one of the most popular, well-read, loved books there is. It's a wonderful, wonderful epistle that Paul wrote. Colossians is kind of like its sister book, and so is Galatians. But they left their first love. And that's what happens with pastors and leaders in the Christian movement. Especially today, you can get so busy doing the things for the Lord that you actually end up spending less time with the Lord in prayer and knowing Him. You go through the motions. That's not all right. Now see, Tower and I work together in this ministry. We have a few people that we know and correspond with, and people that help us financially. But the bottom line of it is that if there's going to be a show, we have to do it. If that show's going to get posted, we got to do it. If there's something wrong with the website, yeah, we got to do it. If we're going to put it out through social feeds and Twitter, we got to do it. So you have all these things that you're doing for the Lord to get the gospel out, and you can get so busy. Oh, I didn't make it in prayer. I didn't do it that. But see, I started a habit a long time ago. I make time throughout the day automatically for the Lord. All the time, every day. And when I'm going outside, I'm thanking the Lord for a beautiful day. I thank Him for life. I do it all the time. It's a living, walking. When I go out at night, I praise the Lord for the beautiful sky. I've always loved space and stars. And ever since a kid, I used to be sitting on the back porch of our house with Mom's opera glasses that she gave me so I could look at the stars. Oh, they were so gorgeous. And of course, my dad and mom made sure I was in church. I was raised in church. My whole family was in it. So today I look out at those same stars and I just thank God. You know, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as astronauts. But I would have surely, you know, if there's any way I could have been one, that's where I would have headed. But you see, the essence of Ephesians and the message is relationship, is love. Not like. You can like anything. You can like your house, like your car, like your dog, like your friend, like America. Like this, like that, hate this, hate that. But with the Lord, it's love. It's agape, God's love. The love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts because He died for us. We received Him. And that love flows out. Now, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Matter of fact, if you look at the Lord, in dealing with his people. He called them snakes and vipers. You're of your father the devil. He took a whip and whipped the money changers out of the church. And you'd say, well, that's not the Christian thing to do. Well, yeah, you tell me what the Christian thing is to do. Because the problem in America, most people use that kind of language when you try to tell them something because, you know, they want to make you feel bad because we're in the easy peasy church. I got news for you. If you ain't going to listen, if it takes a little of a raised voice to get something across to you, yeah, that's going to happen. Just be thankful I didn't call you a snake or a viper or get out of reed and try to find you and beat you with it. Which I would never do. But you see, the thing of it is, we're in this easy-peasy church in America, and we're, oh, everybody is worried about rights. You know, the right of the earth, the right of the plants, the right of the animals. They will protest the death of animals, the death of planet Earth, the death of, you know, anything, any animal, anything. But when it comes to a human life, they don't give one rat's patooey. They don't care. Some of the, you know, and the ones that are leading this are the liberal Democrats in power who are pushing late-time abortion, late-term abortion, in one case, in New York, of course, even after the baby, if the baby's born alive, you can kill it if you want to abort it. Now, see, that is very important. Because in the abortion issue, and I remember this, it actually came up. When you abort a baby, you had to abort him and kill him in the womb. Otherwise, it was murder if you got him out of the womb. But see, that's why they changed the law. So you can murder him outside the womb. This is liberal. This is what they want. But yet they'll go out, and dear God in heaven, if you've got tuna and you're getting a bunch of dolphin in it or just about anything, when we talk about that, the death of the spotted spider or something. The death of the, you know, two-tongued newt. I mean, I don't know. They're going to disappear. But it's okay to kill kids. Killing the children and abortion is blood guilt. That puts the blood guilt. You see, this is what it's all about. And not only that, when we talk about the Nicolaitans, who were considered heretical, and they came up in Ephesus and Pergamum, and they followed, what's his name, Nicolaitan, or Nicolaites, I guess it is. And of course, you know, if you follow a guy, anything he says is okay. Dear God in heaven. Almost all the time it relates to immorality. Without question, no matter what it is, it always leads to immorality. Moral ways. All the time, every day of the week. It's hard to believe. But that's the way it is. Kind of interesting because when you talk about America, we got a lot of influences here. see, the Nicolaitans' doctrine was similar to that of Balaam. Now, of course, Balaam even had the donkey, the ass, speak to him. That's a whole other thing. It's interesting that I talk about it, but at any rate. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, which they were invited to a big party where they sacrificed the idols and they committed fornication with the women. Oh, that's a lot of fun. Well, see, in the process, when you're eating and drinking, they make sure to have wine there. So as you drink the wine, you get drunk, you're open, your inhibitions fall away, and you're willing to commit fornication. And the next day you go, whoops. But see, these people hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, you see. They did not like the evil. They did not like the wickedness. And they didn't believe those who called themselves apostles. I mean, this was a pretty good church in American standards, except they left their first love. Now, nobody would have known that except for the Lord. You wouldn't have really known it. They were going through all the motions here. Everything. You would have thought they were alive. They were great. But he said, you've left your first love, and this is redemptive. He wanted them to love him, to remember that love, to draw close and nurture it. Folks, that is where we need to be today. We got wickedness all around. That's what we need to nurture. Now, you can love your husband or your wife and your kids. You can even love your car. But you'd better agape. Love the Lord more than anything. And then labor. The message of Ephesians screams relationship with your Savior. He loved you so much, he died for you. And he sees what you're doing. And he wants you to love him. And if it requires you to give up some of your busy time just to love the Lord, do it. Remember, all them busy things that we do every day are not that important. Kind of funny, but they're not important. And so when we look at it, there's a place for you and I to be. That place is loving the Lord, making sure we haven't left. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for those who listen whenever they do. Lord, help them to understand Ephesians and your letter to them. And may they come to you truly in love. If you've fallen away, repent, and he'll forgive you. Ask him to forgive you, and he will. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. We shall be back. You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Well, we are back, and this is the end of our hour this morning. In Revelation, the letters to the seven churches. Go by our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Read the articles, listen to the shows, pass them on to our friends. Join us over on usa.life. We're there as Warn Radio, one word. You can also find us on MeWe. And MeWe we've had for some time, and it's been used as kind of a something I've been looking at messing around with, some private conversations and things. It works well. And so we kind of opened it up. We're starting to get people find us now over on MeWe. It's a very safe, secluded, secure. It's not like Facebook and the others that all your information is known, every conversation, even in Facebook, every text, everything you write down, they know. And USA.life is a Facebook and Twitter. It's a nice site, a lot of patriots, a lot of conservatives. You're not going to get banned there. It's not just patriots and conservatives, but you're able to say things without getting banned. And of course, when you start banning words like Christianity and people who are Christians, like Twitter has done, I mean YouTube has done, among others, then that's getting pretty bad, pretty low for America. I would not trust all the liberal knuckleheads who have all these major sites, when you get into it, that Google and everything they have, and Google's good at what they do. They've always been good. But I disagree with Google and what they do. They're helping out China. China is oppressing Christians over there, shutting down churches. I'm not for that at all. But you look at Twitter and what they've done and what they're how many times they close accounts. You look at Microsoft and what they're doing. You look at Facebook, who owns both Instagram and LinkedIn, which are actually, both of those are actually better than Facebook. So if I was to get on anyone, we are on LinkedIn and we are on Instagram both. A total different atmosphere than Facebook. Facebook is, I've never liked Facebook, don't like it to this day. We're there, and we have stuff that are going on there. We have people that have joined us there. We were on there years and years ago, and we had, I don't know, hundreds of people that were joining us, but it's not my cup of tea. I got off of it then, and I will get off of Facebook eventually, and along with it, probably Twitter. Google, as far as I'm concerned, I would not touch Google. So, at any rate, we're going to get out of here. And we'll see you next week. And for Tower, this is the Watchman. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.